Welcome to the weekly podcast of Epworth United Methodist Church in Berkeley, California. Reverend Odette Lockwood Stewart, pastor of Epworth United Methodist Church, spoke on November 25th, 2007. Her sermon was titled, Book of Longing. Our longings reflect and help to shape who we are. The lectionary reading is Luke chapter 1, verses 68 through 79.
There are people in this community who are longing to be able to pray for the well-being of those who have done them harm. There are people in this community longing to be able to forgive, longing to be forgiven. There are people in this community who are longing to be healed. There are people in this community who long for a way out from the trouble they found a way into. There are people who are longing to feel the presence and the love of the God we praise and worship. There are people in this community, in communities around this land, and throughout the world, longing for liberation from poverty, captivity, violence, oppression. The book of our days is a book of longing. We long for things we once had but have no longer. We long for things we have never seen or felt or known. We long for right relationship, for justice, for healing and wholeness for all of creation and for ourselves. Our longings reflect and help shape who we are. Our gospel text from the first chapter of Luke is Zechariah's song. We're more familiar with Mary's song, her soul magnifying the Lord, who fills the poor with good things and sends the rich empty away. Zechariah's song is an outpouring of prayer and praise and prophecy at the birth and naming of his son, John. He sings of a mighty Savior to come and sings to his own child that he will be the prophet of the Most High. This John we know as John the Baptist would prepare the way of the Lord, would even baptize Mary's son, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Zechariah was an old man. His song was born out of many years of practice. It's not for me. Many years of practice and prayer as a priest in the temple. His song was born out of his right relationship with his wife, Elizabeth. Scripture tells us that they both were righteous before God. Zechariah's song was born out of his location and vocation in a history and a community of faith suffering under the domination of empire. When Zechariah first heard from the angel Gabriel that a child would be born to them, he doubted. He asked, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." Zechariah's song was born also out of this doubt, this questioning of God, and out of the months of silence that followed. Zechariah's song was born out of all of who he was and who the people of Israel were. And his song blesses God, who remembered the suffering of the people, the longing of the people, the God who delivered them from slavery in Egypt, from domination of Assyria, who will deliver them again from Rome. Zechariah's song blesses God, who saves people from evil by creating freedom and true security in community. Zechariah's song praises a trustworthy God who fulfills promises so that people can worship and serve without fear. His song longs for and at the same time announces the dawn of liberation, restoration, and peace breaking in upon all God's people. There are 30 other people in the Bible with the name Zechariah, even a book of the 11th of the 12 minor prophets. The name Zechariah means Yahweh remembers. Yahweh remembers. When Maya Angelou taught a course at a Midwestern university, she began the first three class sessions by taking time to ask the students to introduce themselves and then to spell their names. After the third class session, she asked the class, "Why did I just spend 20% of our very valuable class time together making sure you knew each other's names?" Silence. No response. So she explained, "Because your name is a sign of your dignity. And when you recognize someone's name, you recognize them not just as a human, but as a person." The name Zechariah means Yahweh remembers. This song of Zechariah, the song of Yahweh remembers, brings together active longing and bold faith. In our United Methodist Wesleyan heritage, we affirm a theological doctrine of prevenient grace. Prevenient grace. Veni means come, pre means before. Prevenient grace, grace that comes before. Grace that comes before grace. Grace that comes before will. Grace that is ours even before we know it. God remembers us and holds us even when we are not paying attention. God places the longing in the depths of our very being, even before we can name it, let alone be open or willing to risk change, to risk new life. John O'Donohue, in a recent interview, said these words, "There is an unseen life that dreams us. It knows our true direction and destiny. We can trust ourselves more than we realize, and we need have no fear of change. Even if you abuse your freedom, if you build false bridges and burn ones that you shouldn't, there still remains a secret, eternal something that will provide for you and guide you home, regardless of your poor decisions." Diana Butler Bass has written several books about an emerging movement of vital and vibrant progressive Christian churches. She writes of intentional Christian practices like worship, prayer, hospitality, discernment, healing, diversity, justice, testimony, contemplation, beauty, and how these intentional practices are changing lives and transforming communities. Bass found that two questions are at the heart of these practicing congregations. Who are we in God? And what is God calling us to do? Often we get these questions confused. Just ask any child, any student home for Thanksgiving, or any recent graduate how many times they've been asked, "Who are you?" Then ask them how many times they've been asked, "What are you going to do when you grow up, when you graduate, after this?" Rather than, "Who are you?" we ask, "What are you going to do?" Dr. Bass recently told a group of us about a conversation she had with a man who was trying to understand how practices could transform lives, let alone communities. Finally, he said to her, "I think it's like when I was little and took piano lessons. At first, I only did it because my mother made me do it. Then it became a habit. Then, while I would practice, I noticed I liked the music. Then I became a musician." Who are we in God? What is God calling us to do? The answers are bound together with the questions, the longings, rooted in an assurance that we may not even be able to express or experience or understand, that we are a part of a power and a love greater than ourselves. We are upheld by a God who will never let us go. George Michael and Aretha Franklin originally recorded the song "Knew You Were Waiting" as a love song. The verses tell about pains and struggles of living even ordinary lives. And then the chorus assures us, "The river was deep, I didn't falter. When the mountain was high, I still believed. When the valley was low, it didn't stop me. I knew you were waiting. I knew you were waiting for me." We can carry on through the darkest shadows of death, not because we are perfect or worthy or strong or even able, but because we know that God is waiting.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you have comments, please send them to epworthberkley@gmail.com. That's epworthberkley@gmail.com. The website of Epworth United Methodist Church is www.epworthberkley.org. That's www.epworthberkley.org.